Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Good Friday afternoon. It's great to have you along on Drive Time Sports Friday edition of the show. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. And as we continue to count down the days to Super Bowl 53, we have a terrific show set to go for you today. Now, over the last couple of days, we've caught up with some great guests. Yesterday, we had Leonard Marshall, two-time Super Bowl champ from the New York Giants. The day before that, former Los Angeles Ram quarterback Jim Everett. Hey, if you're into the NFL, we've got a terrific lineup for you today. We're going to be joined by two players that will be participating in Super Bowl 53. James White, standout running back from the New England Patriots. He'll take out the time to join us over the telephone in just a bit. White has been so big for the New England Patriots this season. And, of course, scored the game-winning touchdown in the only Super Bowl to ever go to overtime. I'm looking forward to talking to James White. We'll also be joined over the phone by Brian Hoyer, Tom Brady's backup quarterback. Media availability is tight today. We do have some time constraints, but I'm looking forward to talking both to James White and Brian Hoyer just a couple of days away from the Super Bowl. Denver Bronco fans, we have a treat for you. One of the all-time greats in franchise history, Steve Atwater, will join us. His name has been mentioned a lot around the NFL circuit as he is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Looking forward to talking to Steve Atwater and some of his Super Bowl memories from Super Bowl 32 and 33. Of course, he was a part of the back-to-back Denver Bronco championship squads. Mike Adams will join us today as well. Safety for the Carolina Panthers. I like the fact that Mike is coming on the show today because it's an interesting perspective. He played for the Indianapolis Colts on that famed night in 2014 with the Flategate, even though New England won going away 45-7 or whatever the final score was. But he was on the field defensively against Tom Brady in that particular game. Spent this last year with the Carolina Panthers. I want to get his perspective on a season that started out with a lot of promise, 6-2 at the midway point, and then things just really fell to the wayside for the Panthers. We'll talk to him about Cam Newton as well. Again, we just have a great group of guests joining us on the show today. I'm so excited to be along with you. And since we have so many guests, we got to get rolling here with the national sports headlines. So let's start by talking NBA basketball. Anthony Davis talked for the very first time with the media today. Short, but he did say that it's time for him to move on from New Orleans, denies making a request to be dealt to the Los Angeles Lakers. Here's Anthony Davis earlier today.
Why do you want to be traded, Anthony?
I feel like it's my time. You know, I gave the city, organization, fans, everything I feel like I could. Don't know how long I'm going to play this game. People's careers are short. You know, and I feel like it's my time to move on.
Davis turns just 26 years old next month, rejected the idea that he wants to go to Los Angeles, saying that he wants specifically to be dealt to the Lakers, saying neither he nor his representation gave the Pelicans a specific trade destination or timetable in which to make a trade. I don't know how much of that is politically correct, but if Davis does in fact remain in New Orleans beyond next week, it's going to be extremely awkward. I believe he's one of the top two greatest players in the world. I don't think we know enough about Anthony Davis as a person based on the fact that he's in New Orleans, right? And I think he's going to thrive in a larger market. And don't forget, the trade deadline has been moved up, February 7th, so we get it before the All-Star break. So the next 6 days, it's going to be key, I think, in the Anthony Davis watch to see where he'll be playing the rest of the season, and I guess moving into next season because he's under contract as well. If we step away from the Anthony Davis chit-chat, the Chicago Bulls have officially waived Carmelo Anthony, clearing way for him to hit free agency. He's going to be free to go wherever he wants to go. He was never asked to report to the Bulls. They acquired him January 22nd in the deal with the Houston Rockets, which was more of a financial maneuver all the way around. The move is part of the franchise's original plan with Anthony. There was the thought that maybe the Bulls could trade him and get something back for him. The trade market just not there for Carmelo Anthony. The Houston Rockets found that out firsthand. The Lakers remain a possibility to sign Anthony, but it can't happen until they pretty much acquire Anthony Davis or make a move at the trade deadline to free up an open roster spot. LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony have history, so I think in the grand scheme of things, the Lakers would move on from their young core, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, maybe even Zubas, who has been phenomenal for this team offensively in the post, and then you'd have Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony, and LeBron James. I think that's part of the idea, part of the plan for the Lakers, but the Pelicans have to play nice in the sandbox if that's going to happen. Carmelo Anthony, I think it's connected to Anthony Davis in some sense if the Lakers want to make a move right now. And there's the story of Rudy Gobert, who was not selected to the NBA All-Star team. Instead, it's Karl Anthony Towns, LaMarcus Aldridge, but no Rudy Gobert. He's still waiting to make his first All-Star team, and he was the butt of a lot of jokes on Twitter today. Jazz fans are taking offense to the Rudy Gobert banter, and they should. Because first off, Rudy Gobert is absolutely deserving of being an All-Star. And for me personally, it goes beyond that. Again, Gobert is completely deserving of this opportunity. He was talking about how his mom was upset that he didn't get the nod. Made him a little teary-eyed. He choked up a little bit and he ended his media session. So often, and I'm one of them, I complain about the level of play in the All-Star game where it's just a dunk fest. There's no defense played pretty much throughout the entire game until we get down to the final 3 or 4 minutes if it's competitive. And part of the reason why I was always an advocate for Kobe Bryant being on an All-Star team is because he took it serious, and Kobe played defense. And he's not the only one. I know there are other players that take a heavy approach to the All-Star game. They play the way it should be played. I complain often about the majority of players not wanting to be there and really making a joke out of the game itself. And I'm not alone in that. I know a lot of people that watch NBA basketball put down the All-Star game for the lack of effort. If you were one of those individuals that put down the All-Star game and the players in it because of a lack of effort, and you're making fun of Rudy Gobert for being upset that he's not on the team, you're being a moron. To me, it's that simple. You can't criticize a guy that has enough passion about playing in this game that's upset that he didn't make it when you also criticize the effort of the other players. Should Rudy Gobert be on the Western Conference All-Star squad? Absolutely. There's no question in my mind. He deserves to be there over Karl Anthony Towns. He deserves to be there over LaMarcus Aldridge, who I think has had a terrific season. I love the fact that Nikola Jokic has made the team. I love that Anthony Davis is on the squad and Klay Thompson and Russell Westbrook. I love the reserves. The starters, they got it right. LeBron, Durant, Paul George, Stephen Curry, James Harden, no problem with it. Towns and Aldridge over Gobert shouldn't fly. Gobert became the victim of being in a small market. He's also the victim of being a defensive-branded player in the world of offensive basketball. He should be on the All-Star squad. And in a world where athletes make millions and millions of dollars, how dare anyone make fun of him for being upset that he's not on the squad? I, for one, loved it. If I'm a Utah Jazz fan, I see that passion, and I have no problem paying money to watch Rudy Gobert play. That's my quick gripe for the day. I'll end it right there. We've got to pause for just a moment. Local sports recap is coming up when we return. And again, we'll be joined by two New England Patriots over the phone when we come back. Brian Hoyer, backup quarterback, and James White, standout running back for the Patriots, will join us 2 days ahead of Super Bowl 53. Over the phone, we'll get their thoughts on the game and preparation when we return. It's a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We continue to count down the days to Super Bowl 53 this Sunday. Do not forget, live coverage will begin at 12 p.m. That'll take us right up to kickoff at 4:30, and Kevin Harlan will bring you the live play-by-play call. Not everybody can watch the Super Bowl. That's where we come in. You can listen to it again on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. Let's talk Super Bowl 53 with two individuals that will actually be playing in Sunday's contest. First up, we have Brian Hoyer. He is joining us over the phone right now. He's been in the NFL since 2009 when he signed with the New England Patriots as an undrafted free agent. He was reacquired by the Patriots last season in a deal that sent Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco, and since then, he has served as Tom Brady's backup. Brian, thank you for the time.
Sure.
Super Bowl 53 is right around the corner. I think you got a unique role being a backup quarterback going into the biggest game. What's preparation been like for you over the last week?
We just try to keep it normal. You're just going to try to, you know, stay in your routine, do what got you here. And obviously, being the backup quarterback, you have to always be prepared to play. So I always try to, you know, do the same preparation I always do. And you know, you never know if you're going to play one snap or 60. So, lucky for me, I've been a starting quarterback in other places, and I've known how to prepare in that role, and I try to do the same thing. And you know, the only difference when you're the backup is you're not going to get all the reps during the week, and you kind of got to take those mentally.
Let's talk about being Tom Brady's backup quarterback. Many would say he got the easiest job in the NFL. I don't know if that's true or not, so I'm going to let you tell me. Is that true?
I mean, it's a great job to get to work with the guy who, you know, I look at as the greatest of all time, and to get to go in and work with him every day and learn from him and see how he processes things, his passion, all those things. I mean, it's a privilege for me to go do that every day, and we have a great relationship, and that's been an awesome year, and hopefully we can finish it out the right way.
Everybody always talks about Tom being the greatest of all time. You get to see it up close and personal in practice, and you have for many years. I mean, it's not your first go-around with the New England Patriots. Tell me what makes Tom Brady so special on the field.
I think just his preparation, how dedicated he is, how in-depth he looks at things, how he, you know, really the preparation, you know, leads to, you know, the execution that you all see on the field on Sundays. But I think also just, the amount of hard work that he puts in, not only like from the mental side, but the physical side, whether it's his diet, his training, how meticulous he is when it comes to throwing mechanics, all those things. I think it's just, for me, it's just always a privilege to be able to see that, because it's something that I look up to and emulate.
How much of an extension of the coaching staff are you being a backup quarterback on the offensive side of the ball, especially in a game like the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I always try to do my best. You know, anytime, you know, I'm in preparation, watching film and doing those things, anything I see, you know, I bring up to, you know, Josh or Tom. And then during the game, I'm always watching from the sideline, see if, you know, obviously going through the plays in my head, but also seeing if I can get any keys from, you know, what they're doing out there on the field.
As far as this year's New England Patriots squad goes, it's so unique. I mean, you take a look at the fact that there was a week you guys had three active wide receivers, and you guys still managed to find success. What is it about this group that allows you to have success despite the fact that you've dealt with depleted numbers on that side of the ball?
Well, I think it just kind of is a testament to those guys who've played receiver for us and our coaching staff and figuring out, you know, creative ways to get everybody the ball and how to attack defenses.
It seems like all week long there's been the story of you guys kind of using the fact that you're quote-unquote the underdogs as motivation. Do you guys ever view yourself as underdogs? Is that something more that the media plays off of, or is that really bulletin board material for the locker room?
I think for us, we care about what we think. We don't really care about what the media says. We don't care about what everyone else says. We care about, you know, what us as a group, you know, collectively the 53 guys on the team and the coaching staff, how we feel about ourselves and how we want to go out and execute things on Sundays. That's really all that matters.
Let's talk about the Los Angeles Rams defense. This is a team that can definitely bring pressure. I mean, they got a star-studded defensive front with Michael Brockers, Aaron Donald, and Dominican Sue, and then they made the trade for Dante Fowler. What stands out to you about the front four for this Ram unit?
Well, you mentioned those guys, obviously, and not only do you have those four guys, but to go along with it, you have, you know, a great secondary that's capable of, you know, really covering receivers. So when you have a combination of a good defensive front and guys who can really cover, it's a predicament, obviously, when you have to hold the ball for people to get open and you have to, you know, kind of, you know, face the challenges of a strong pass rush. So, and then you couple all that with a good scheme that's coached by Wade Phillips. So it's obviously going to be our biggest challenge of the year. This is, you know, when you get to this point, it's always the toughest game of the year, and you're playing, you know, the best team. They've earned that right to be in the Super Bowl, and that makes them, you know, the other best team that's left, and it'll always be a challenge.
I felt like the secondary for Los Angeles has been highly underrated all year long. Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, John Johnson. We can talk a lot about LaMarcus Joyner. I mean, I know that the weakness may be in the middle of the field, but when you take a look at that front four and that back four, boy, they have some studs on this team.
No doubt. I mean, you can obviously see their intention was to go all in, and by, you know, bringing Sue and Fowler and Aqib and Peters and obviously Joyner and Johnson were there. But, I mean, you know, you can see that they invested heavily in that defense. And like I said, that's why it's going to be a challenge for us. It's definitely going to be, you know, one of the best defenses, if not the best defense we faced all year.
I talked to Jim Everett, former Los Angeles Ram quarterback, earlier in the week, and we were talking about the experience. Does that really play a factor when you get to this stage? I know the Rams have a couple of guys that have been around for a while, but as far as New England goes, you guys are riddled with championship experience. Does that really matter as we get to the big game?
Not really. I don't think experience wins games. Execution wins games. So whether, you know, you've been in this situation or not, when the ball's kicked off, it's football. And, you know, I don't think that those experiences are you know, going to be the factors in determining the outcome of the game. You know, it's going to be who executes the best under pressure.
Brian, last question before I let you go. Overtime victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. Rex Burkhead scores that touchdown to clinch it, send you back to the Super Bowl. Describe that feeling for someone sitting on the sidelines watching that.
Oh, man, it was a great game. The back and forth, and then, you know, we get the ball in overtime and we're moving down the field. And then I think it was just at that point, you just felt like it had to be, this is, you know, we're going to punch it in. And you see Rex get in the end zone. And you know, I mean, after that, it's just all chaos, you know, running out of the field, celebrating. And I think it was unique, you know, because the previous two times that I'd been on a team that won the AFC Championship, it was at home. And now you're on the road and it's kind of like, you know, you're celebrating. You're wondering like, all right, now what, you know, where's the, you know, it was a new experience for me, and I think that made it all that much sweeter because it was kind of just us 53 guys and our coaches going in there, and that's all we had, and it was all we needed.
Brian Hoyer, backup quarterback for the New England Patriots, thank you so much for the time today. Best of luck in Super Bowl 53.
All right, thanks.
Again, that's Brian Hoyer, backup quarterback for the New England Patriots, and we have one more guest joining us over the phone right now. Brian's going to pass the phone along to James White. Been with the Patriots since 2014 and scored the game-winning touchdown in Super Bowl 51 in overtime as the Patriots topped the Atlanta Falcons 34-28. James, thank you for making time today.
No problem.
First off, the fact that you're playing in your third consecutive Super Bowl, that's unique. Not too many people have the opportunity to say that they've done something like that. I know you have great history in the Super Bowl. What's it like going back for a third consecutive year?
It's a great experience every single time. You work all year to make it to a game like this, so just want to capitalize on the opportunity to play your best football.
From an offensive standpoint, you guys have been pretty dynamic in the postseason. Put up 37 on the road against Kansas City. That's no easy task. We take a look at what you guys did against the Chargers. You were able to blow right through them. You've been used in a variety of ways. I mean, throughout the season, the regular season, we're talking about 123 targets in the passing game. Talk to me about the parity offensively and how you guys have managed to make that work, kind of rolling with a three-headed monster out of the backfield.
We have a great group of guys. Nobody cares who gets the credit. Just do whatever it takes to get wins. And the offensive line is doing a great job blocking in the run game, passing game, receivers, fullbacks, tight ends. And all those guys have been making big plays as well. So each and every week, and maybe more runs one week, maybe more passes another week. And nobody cares. Just go out there and try and win.
We've actually talked a lot about you on the air this week, James. I see a lot of similarities to the way you can be used, to the way the New Orleans Saints used Alvin Kamara last week. I believe he had 11 catches, if I'm not mistaken, 2 weeks ago in the NFC Championship game. When you take a look at the success that you've had out of the backfield and what the Saints were able to do with Kamara, is that something that has even been mentioned this week as you guys prepare for the Rams?
I mean, we'll see what happens. You never know how a team is going to try and match up against us. So you kind of got to see after the first few drives what they're trying to do and what they're trying to stop. We kind of got to go from there.
When you watch this team defensively on video, what stands out to you as a running back? I know your vision's got to be a little bit different than everyone else's out there. So what stands out to you?
I mean, they work well as a unit. They capitalize on any mistakes, have a good defensive line, fast linebackers, and a secondary that, you know, can turn the ball over. So we're going to take our best football, and we're going to make you drive it and try and stop you in the red zone. So it's going to be take our best effort.
James, you guys started off 1-2 this season. There were a lot of doubters. You guys then rallied off six consecutive wins, got right back to playing New England Patriot football. It's such a grind, and I know sometimes the media and fans, they jump to conclusions, they freak out, they use hyperbole. Was there any doubt at any point in time this season on this team that you guys would be in Super Bowl 53?
I mean, we weren't focused on the Super Bowl at that point in the year, just focused on getting better as a team. Obviously, we were capable of, and we weren't playing our best football. We just knew we had to turn around quicker than later. And like I said, no matter ups and downs, we stay together as a team, and now we're at this point.
I did get to talk to Brian Hoyer just a few moments ago, and we were talking about being Tom Brady's backup quarterback. So let me ask you, coming out of the backfield, being used as, you know, I've always thought of you being an extension of the rushing game through the air is kind of the way that the Patriots have used you. What's it like playing with someone like Tom Brady?
I mean, it's awesome. You're a great competitor, great teammate, great person. He competes each and every day and challenges you. Demands the best out of each and every player that steps on his football team. So he's awesome to play with a guy who's had so much success over the course of the season.
We have got to talk to some past Super Bowl heroes. You, of course, scored a game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. So if you could, walk me kind of through that particular situation when you crossed the goal line and you gave the Patriots a Super Bowl victory just a couple of years ago.
It was a cool feeling. Just, you know, all the hard work you put in as a team to come out with a win in a game like that. It's awesome feeling.
Well, James, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time. Best of luck on Sunday in Super Bowl 53, and it was a pleasure. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Again, James White, running back for the New England Patriots. I believe he's going to be a major factor in Sunday's game if New England's going to find a way to top the Los Angeles Rams. So neat to get two players on the show that'll be playing on Sunday. And again, do not forget, live coverage of Super Bowl 53 will begin right here on KOAL at noon on Sunday. And it'll take you right up to kickoff at 4:30 when Kevin Harlan will bring you the play-by-play call. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to be joined by Carolina Panthers safety Mike Adams. We're talking about the New England Patriots. I think Mike has some interesting perspective. He was on the field playing against the Patriots the night of the alleged Deflategate. Now, the Colts obviously lost that game. New England ran away with it in a major way. I want to get Mike Adams' perspective on that. And we'll also talk about his career, what's next in this past season for the Carolina Panthers. That's coming up when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Back on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, all NFL today. We just talked to Brian Hoyer and James White of the New England Patriots, and right now we're going to talk to Mike Adams. He's a safety in the NFL, played since 2004 when he began his career with the San Francisco 49ers. He's a two-time Pro Bowler back in 2014 and 2015 with the Indianapolis Colts. He also had a stint with the Cleveland Browns and Denver Broncos. Most recently, he just wrapped up a season with the Carolina Panthers where he had three interceptions this season, and he's in Atlanta soaking up the festivities. Mike Adams joining us over the phone, and Mike, it's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're in Atlanta for Super Bowl 53. What's it like for a player in the NFL not participating in the Super Bowl? What's kind of the regime? What are you doing this weekend?
I'm out here with broadcast boot camp, just trying to see what my second career will be looking like. So I'm just testing the waters right now, walking around, interviewing people, doing podcasts, taking interviews, analyzing the game. It's four of us that's a part of the player NFL engagement.
Well, you've definitely been around the game for quite some time, as I mentioned, starting your career back in 2004. You and I were talking before we hopped on air. You're now officially a free agent. Have you given any thoughts to that second career, or do you plan on coming back and trying to play a little bit more in the NFL?
I definitely plan on coming back. I'm not done. Just the way Carolina, the way we ended our season is not the way I would like to go out. We lost the last seven of the eight out of eight games. So that doesn't sit well with me at all. So I'm going to give it another shot. But I'm just testing the waters, making connections, just in case. You know, it's just a backup plan.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Carolina Panthers season. You just mentioned it. I mean, at one particular time, it looked like it was going to be a two-pony race in that NFC South, which is so talented front to back with New Orleans, Atlanta. You throw in Carolina, and you got Tampa Bay as well. What was that like going through stretch in the season to where you guys looked in control, sitting at 6-2, and then ultimately losing, what was it, 8 out of the last 9 games, if I'm not mistaken?
That was tough. That was tough going through, you know. But through it all, you know, it just made us better people, and we were stronger, and we never gave up. You know, we were in most of all those games. We was in all of the games except for Pittsburgh. So we fought. Obviously, it didn't fall our way. And coaches kept us engaged, and that's what I respect about our coaches. They definitely kept us engaged. For instance, we would lose a tight game. They would come in, hey, we have to keep working. Stay focused. Stay the course. This can happen. This can happen. This is football. And they would tell us things like that and just kept us engaged.
I was looking forward to the end of the season for Carolina because there was 2 games against New Orleans in a 3-game span. You guys get the last one, Week 17, when Drew Brees doesn't play. But, Mike, and this is just someone sitting back and watching the grand scheme of the NFL, the loss on December 17th to the New Orleans Saints, 12-9, was a fantastic contest. I'm sure that one probably stung a little bit.
Yeah, that one hurt. That one hurt. And it hurt because, you know, we knew what was at stake. We knew it was a divisional game. And we just wanted to go out and just perform. We wanted to win. Our coach preached to us all week about winning. He preached to us all week about holding the standard, keep the standard. And we went out there and performed. But obviously we came up short. And that's the way football goes. You know, I'm not going to say they deserve to win because I thought we did. But it just didn't go that way.
Talk to me about the culture around Carolina. I think there's always a lot of conversation about Cam Newton. He's always in the spotlight. What kind of a leader is Cam? I know you play on the defensive side of the ball, but as far as command in the locker room and respect, what kind of a player is Cam Newton?
Now, he gets nothing but respect. I mean, if you don't know him, obviously people make their own pre-notions and start judging him, but I don't think it's fair. You know, me sitting down with Cam, me talking to Cam, being in the same locker room, if you sat down and had a conversation, a very smart guy, very intellectual, and we had many conversations. For instance, we talked about family. We talked about where he would want to settle down. We talked about where the team is headed. We talked about his mistakes and how he could get better. We talked about how we can get better as a team. So it's not what people think. I promise you, Cam is a great leader, and unfortunately his shoulder held him back this year. But he's going to be a great player, and he'll be back to where he was 3 years ago.
I said that multiple times on this show. For anyone that's watched Cam Newton's career, it was obvious he was nowhere near 100% this year, Mike.
Yeah. But he fought through it. You know, he's a warrior, and that's what you do. You fight for your teammates, and they hurt him. I think it hurt him more that he had to sit down and watch us play.
Mike, if we look over the course of your career, you've had a lot of success. Of course, you got to the Pro Bowl 2 times. But for a player to be at the Super Bowl and not play in the biggest game, is that difficult?
Yeah, it's difficult. but we get it, though. You know, everybody can't go. Only 2 teams a year can go. You know, only 2 teams a year. And we just look at it as though, all right, you got to wait the next year. You got to wait the next year. And you just keep fighting. That's what's unique about this game. We play this game that we love, and we go so hard. But it's one big game. There's one big game that's happening on Sunday. So, and unfortunately, we're not in it. But fortunately, we got 2 teams but only one will come out on top.
You played in a Super Bowl, right, with the Broncos and the Seahawks back in 2013.
Yes, we played in the Super Bowl, and playing in that Super Bowl, it was heartbreaking. And it was heartbreaking because, you know, you put everything into it, and they separate you. And because after the game, what happens is the confetti comes down, the other team's color, and then they get a rope that to separate you. It's so demoralizing. It's like, go straight to the locker room. That's it. We have to give out this trophy. And, like, the hard part about it is, like, going home to your family, And they're just happy that you made it, and they're happy that the success you had all season. But you're so angry and you're out of it because you just lost the biggest game of your career.
You also suffered a loss to the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game as a member of the Indianapolis Colts. So tell me, what was the more demoralizing loss? Is it the Super Bowl or is it the AFC Championship? Because I've talked to a number of players about it. The number of players I've talked to, it seems like they're split. Some would say it's the AFC title game or the conference title game. Some would say it's the Super Bowl. What's worse?
It's the Super Bowl. If you say you don't want to go to Super Bowl, because once you go to Super Bowl, all you need is a chance. That's it. It's an opportunity. It's just an opportunity to be a rock star for a week. Win or lose, you're a rock star for a whole week. You get to tell your story. You get to share things that people never knew about you. And you have a chance to win a game and play at the biggest stage of your career.
When you were in Indianapolis, losing to New England, you guys fall to Tom Brady. Of course, there was the whole situation with the Deflategate. As a player participating in a game like that, the media never lets it die. But as a player, how do you approach it?
You let it die. I mean, you can't dwell on that because who's to say if it happened, when it happened? Like, if it was true, who's to say that and then we would have won the game? You know, who's to say that? Like, at the end of the day, you still have to play. So I'm not going to sit up here and say we lost because of the Deflategate. We lost because of this. Nah, it's not one thing. Like, it was a whole lot of things that they did well that we didn't. So they deserve to go to the Super Bowl that year.
Last question. Rams, Patriots, who do you like and why?
Oh, I just like players. I just want to see my players do well. I'm not rooting for anybody, honestly. A lot of people were saying they want the Patriots to lose because it's like, oh, brother, here we go again. I just want to see a good game because I got friends and boys on both sides.
It was a pleasure to chat with you, and enjoy the rest of Super Bowl 53 and everything that Atlanta has to offer this weekend.
All right. Thanks for having me.
NFL safety Mike Adams taking out the time to join us on the show today. We've got to pause for another quick commercial break. When we return, we're going to talk to Denver Bronco all-time great Steve Atwater. He's on the phone and set to go when we come back on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. Been talking all NFL, and we have yet another guest joining us over the phone right now. Being in Bronco country, I'm sure the majority of the listeners are excited for this one. He's a two-time Super Bowl champ, an eight-time Pro Bowl selection, and he is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame as we speak. He spent 10 seasons with the Denver Broncos from 1989 to 1998, and he wrapped up his career with the New York Jets in 1999. Joining us, we have Steve Atwater over the phone right now. And Steve, it is, again, an honor, a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Jordan.
Absolutely. Hey, when I say Denver Bronco legend, that's exactly what you are, a two-time Super Bowl champ with the Denver Broncos. As a spectator, I guess we could say in some sense, Steve, what's it like to hang back around the Super Bowl now that you're at Super Bowl 53, hanging around Atlanta, knowing that you're a two-time Super Bowl champ? What's that experience like as a fan/spectator?
You know, I mean, it's really cool to be able to, you know, watch it from afar and relax and, you know, get a chance to watch instant replay, all that good stuff without having the pressure of having to tackle someone or learn the game plan. Then I'll get a chance to talk about it. You know, I do a radio show in Denver, Orange and Blue 760. So, yeah, it's great to, you know, be close to the game, but again, not have to go and get iced down after the game.
No doubt. You definitely have earned that. Two-time Super Bowl champ and, again, a member of the 1990s All-Decade team. Steve, if we go back to Super Bowl 32 and Super Bowl 33, what do you remember most about those seasons? Not necessarily the Super Bowl per se, but the seasons in which you guys put in all the work to get to that point and then become Super Bowl champs.
Well, you know, when I think back, the thought that comes to my mind is just my teammates and I, just a close-knit group of guys working towards the same goal. You know, I remember, you know, having fun in practices. We'd be lifting weights and, you know, just, you know, having fun but working hard. And, you know, our coaches putting together great game plans for us and it just, you know, being really a fun time. You know, we'll two of the best years of football I've ever enjoyed in my life. Even actually, I'd say the '96 season as well. You know, we went 13-3 that season. We lost to Jacksonville in the playoffs, but that year gave us quite a bit of confidence and a little bit of momentum going into '97.
You do have some experience with a coach that's going to be on the sidelines this weekend, Wade Phillips. What's unique about this guy? I mean, he's been in the NFL for so long.
Well, Wade is great at, kind of analyzing problems and coming up with simple solutions to them. I've never seen him get rattled. And again, I think one of the biggest things is he makes the game fun to play and, again, makes it simple for the defensive players. And I think in this league with, all the different motions and different RPO schemes, you got to have a defense that's simple in order for defense to be out there and play effectively without thinking too much.
Steve, I want to talk about one of your Super Bowls in particular. We could talk about Super Bowl 32. It's one of the best performances that we've ever seen from a secondary player in the Super Bowl. One of the greatest games of your career. You were fantastic in that contest. Had a forced fumble. You had 6 solo tackles. You had 1 sack. I mean, when you go back and you revisit that game going up against the Green Bay Packers and Brett Favre, walk me through what it was like at the time on the field and kind of the preparation for that game.
Yeah, well, we had prepared well, and as you know, we had a week of practice in Denver before we flew out to San Diego for the Super Bowl. And once we got out there, I remember it was like Wednesday or Thursday. We were sitting up watching some film in the evening, and all of us kind of say, "Hey, coach, hey, we got enough film. We got it down." We had been through it over and over again. We'd heard all the talks about how we were going to lose and how the Green Bay Packers were going to dominate us and score all these points on us. And, we prepared well. And at that point, though, we just felt like, hey, we've had enough. We know the game plan. Now we just got to get mentally right. And, going into that football game, we were extremely confident. We weren't boastful, though. We kind of kept it to ourselves. We kind of talked amongst ourselves about how, hey, we feel like we have a great game plan, and we're just going to do what we've been doing all season and go out and just lay it on the line. And we did just that. And, offensively, Terrell Davis was able to, run the ball well. Our offensive line blocked well. Eddie Mack and Rod Smith, those guys, Shannon Sharp had great games. And, our leader, John, he brought it on home for us. Defensively, we made quite a few plays, had a good aggressive game plan. Had a couple of safety blitzes called, which I love that. just a wonderful experience. Again, one of the best days of my life.
Again, being joined right now by Steve Atwater, Denver Bronco legend and a 2-time Super Bowl champ. Steve, they always say the second one is more difficult than the first. Is that a true statement?
You know what? I think it is true because, a lot of times after you win one, you tend to get a little bit complacent. But fortunately for us, Mike Shanahan and the coaching staff, they didn't let that happen. And, we had a bunch of veteran guys in the locker room who, wanted to do something special. And we came back that next year and had an even better year, 14-2, and just was able to, finish it off. And, the thing that is so great is that all those relationships and those bonds that we built, over 20 years ago, just about 20 years ago, I mean, they're still just as strong today. And, that's the thing that's special about it is, the ring is great. Winning the Super Bowl is great. All that stuff is great. But, the thing that goes on forever that, you don't necessarily have to show anyone, it's inside, is, your feelings and the relationship that will carry on for a lifetime. So I was blessed and honored to be on that team. And, I'm just so happy again. And, those great, great, great times in our lives.
Two more questions for you, Steve, if you have the time. The first would be, who was the most difficult quarterback that you had to prepare for during your career?
Someone asked me this, it's always the same question. And this was probably not for my entire career, but I remember my rookie year, we were preparing to go to Super Bowl, I believe it was 23, against the San Francisco 49ers, and thought we had a good game plan going into the game, but man, the San Francisco 49ers offense, they just obliterated us. And, you know, it was very humbling, to say the least. So I would say Joe Montana. And then, you know, we played him a big game. I don't know if it was 97 or 98 in Denver. And he was nearing the end of his career. He was with the Chiefs at the time. And I mean, it may have been 96. But he brought them back. And just a great pass to his right, our left, and to win the football game. And I was like, man, this is just an amazing, amazing quarterback. And I knew that we were seeing greatness on the field.
Last question, Steve, before I let you go. Super Bowl 53 this Sunday. Who do you like in the game and why?
Well, you know what? I haven't made my actual pick just yet. You know, we do our radio show. I'm going to make that decision tomorrow. You know, I have legitimate arguments for both teams. It could definitely be the Los Angeles Rams. I look at it from a standpoint of just like the Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, I would never go against Nick Saban, but, you know, this year Clemson was able to come out and really change, you know, what Alabama had going and was able to beat them. This may be the same thing for the New England Patriots this year. But then I look at it from the other side that, hey, the Rams, they know they've been talking a little bit of noise, but, you know, they also have some young guys who haven't played in this game, but they also have a bunch of talented guys. So, you know, this game really could go either way. I think in the end, I think I'm going to end up going with the safe bet in the New England Patriots, but I'll make my final decision tomorrow.
I can take it. Again, Steve Atwater, one of the all-time greats as far as the Denver Broncos are concerned, two-time Super Bowl champ. Steve, a pleasure to talk with you. Enjoy the rest of the festivities at Super Bowl 53. And again, thank you very much for the time today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You as well, sir. Thank you very much. That's Denver Bronco all-time great Steve Atwater joining us here on this Friday edition of the show. And unfortunately, we are out of time. Do not forget, you'll be able to listen to Super Bowl 53 live right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM on Sunday. Tonight, we have Emory High School basketball coming your way. The Spartans at home taking on North St. Pete. Live coverage will begin at 6:30. Tip-off is set for 7. You have a terrific weekend. Be safe. I am out.